Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to trust God even when I can't trace God. It don't make no sense what you asked me to do. God, I'm going to stand flat-footed, tall, short, fat, bald, and tell you, that does not make no sense. However, I trust you.
Yeah.
It don't make sense to me because intellectually, I can't discern that.
Yeah.
But theologically and spiritually, I embrace the whole thing. I'm ate up with it. I trust you, God, so you're worthy for worship. And the servants are sitting there. They're dumbfounded. They're dumbfounded. Think about it now. Wood. Before we read this next verse, wood, lots of it, for an altar. Now read. Types and shadows. Jesus, on his way to Golgotha, had to carry a wooden cross. The wood was put on him, and he went over there. There was nobody. You know, there was people that helped him through the streets. But when he got ready to ascend up there, he had to struggle up there by himself.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
The wood is on his shoulder. Isaac got two slaves. They're going up on the mountain. He didn't walk 70 kilometers, 3 day journey. Why can't you get these two boys?
Yeah.
They the slaves. Why can't you get them to put the wood? But the thing that's amazing here is Isaac said not a word. Cut that wood. Put it on the boy, and they started up the hill. And the slaves are down here. Don't know what's going to happen. Another type. On the day, on Friday, you know that day at Golgotha, where we saw night twice, at noonday and at night. For 3 hour period there, all of mankind was shut out. It was only a transaction between the Father and the Son.
Yeah.
The two servants represent all of us and all of mankind. We're shut out of this transaction. They have no idea of what's about to happen. They can have suspicions, but they don't know. All they know is that they're going up there, they're going to burn some wood. That means they got a burnt offering. Huh. We done came all this far. Why would this man come all this way just to worship? We could have worshiped back home. I mean, the local church was right there. You know, we didn't have to come 70 miles. Listen to verse 7. And Isaac. I told you earlier that I think that chapter 22 of Genesis is among the top 10 of all the chapters in the Bible because of the doctrines that it teaches. And here's one of the reasons I think it's so good. Because it shows us something. It shows us something on many levels. Let's look at the human level. Teach your children about worship. And they can correct you when you're wrong.
Amen.
Y'all don't hear me? See, the issue is, once you've taught a child something, they know it. And Isaac knows one thing. I know how to worship. I know all the elements contained in worship. Because my daddy taught me, my father. Now, he asked the question. And see, y'all make it real polite. Like these people are so holy and spiritual, Sylvia. Here's what Isaac says. He's been quiet all this time. Here's what he really says. Daddy, now, I'm not questioning the fact that you 100 and some years old. And I know you may not be as sharp as you used to be. But Dad, I'm not questioning. I'm just asking a question. Mm-hmm. I see the fire. Mm-hmm. I see the wood. But where's the lamb? That is the greatest question ever asked in the Old Testament. Because that question held over the heads of humanity all those years, from Genesis to Malachi, and then 400 more years before that question was ever really answered. Now, I know Abraham thought he was answering, but he was answering prophetically. But the real deal question would be answered one day down at the Jordan. And John, who's about to go off the scene, and he's already declared that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And we beheld the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Verse 29 says, and the very next day, he looked up and he said, behold, the Lamb of God. That question that had gone unanswered is answered that day when Jesus descends down out of the plain of Jerusalem into the Jordan River, and that question now is answered.
You hot.
Where's the Lamb? But listen to listen to Abraham. Oh, y'all got to hear this. And Abraham said, my son, I know you think you know worship protocol. I know you're usher, been an usher. No. Y'all got to go. Y'all tell us where to sit, what to do, the order service. But Abraham says, I got this thing, Nick. He says, because God himself will what? Sister Brenda, would you read that? Because I'm going to tell you, people read this, and I'm going to tell you, it's full flavor. Never. We never taste the full flavor of this verse right here. Read right there. Read for me, Sister Brenda.
And Abraham said,
what did he say?
My son.
What?
God will provide himself.
Stop.
Himself.
God will provide himself. Good God Almighty. Man, I tell you, where's the board when I need it? Y'all didn't see that? Oh, I saw that. Matter of fact, Liz Kimmel, years ago, man, she got up calling me in the midnight game. Proceed, did you see that? Oh, yeah. God will provide himself. What the difference is, a lamb. In other words, God is self-sustaining. Anything you lack in worship or in life, God is capable of providing it. But Isaac knows one thing. The lamb is essential. Because without the lamb, there ain't no sacrifice. In other words, without the lamb, you just plain worship. You know, and see, that tells us something about worship, too. Worship ain't something to be trifled with. You know, because there are certain elements of worship that just need to exist. You can't sit around and kid all day long and you know, think that you worship God. Worship invokes the presence of God. And whenever God shows up, that's when power shows up. And that's why many of our churches today aren't experiencing the power that we need, because nobody has to worship anymore.
All right.
Somebody better help me. But our God is no cosmic hell bellhop that you can just call at your demand and get what you want and name it, claim it, frame it, ram it, you know, all that jamming, you know. Hey, God is not about that. God is, it's about worship.
Yeah.
In other words, how much does God mean to you? And matter of fact, God says, in this exchange, I'm showing you a type and a shadow of what's about to happen. God don't need your input. He will provide himself the sacrifice. See, because the sacrifice, the ultimate sacrifice, is about the lamb was the substitute. Oh, yeah, you know, it was a propitiation. Y'all know what I'm talking about. You basic doctrine folk. You know that it is a substitute for the just wrath of God.
Yeah.
In other words, man's sin could not take away the guilt, the stain of sin. A lamb could not take away. It could only substitute for a time. But he says, this is a type and shadow of what's to come. That all sin will be satisfied because God will provide himself. And I know, oh, Brother Snee, that's taking that too far. Well, the Lamb is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And Jesus Christ is God.
Provided himself.
God says, I don't need you in worship. What I need is I need to show up, because without me, I don't need your sacrifice anymore. That's once and for all. We're going to get this over with, because once is just enough when I use the right ingredients. See, if he had bought the lamb, you know, because the boy's asking a legitimate question. He knows you got to have a lamb. We're going up this mountain. I'm carrying all this wood. And when we get up there, ain't nothing on that mountain that's a lamb. But whenever God is taking you through the test, you can rest assured that he will provide everything you need to prepare for the test and to take the test. See, most folks leave God out in the preparation. They get study groups. I just old crazy Carolina boy, Nick. I just chose God. I said, look here, I can cut about 4 or 5 y'all out, and I just bring God into it. Because whenever God shows up, that's just enough. See, because anytime you're getting ready to go through a test, you need grace. And just like Paul found out, Paul said, Lord, if you just move this thing, this test that I'm going, this trial that I'm going through, and God said, my grace is sufficient.
Yeah.
I done gave you what you need.
Yes, sir.
Quit complaining. You ain't heard Abraham complain one time. You know why? That's active faith. That's work. That's why it was accounted to him righteousness, folks.
Yes. Yes.
See, and y'all laughed. Y'all laughed when he said, oh, yeah, he going up, but he going to kill that boy. This boy had closed sessions with the creator of the universe. And I can prove that he knew about resurrection. I'm going to go up here, I'm going to kill this boy, and God's going to raise him up. Because me and him went up, and me and him come and die.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That's resurrection. Y'all don't hear me. This boy knew something about resurrection. And you said, well, Brother Snead, I'm glad you use your sanctified imagination, and I'm glad you agree with the comment, the writers of the Sunday school lesson. No. Over in Hebrews chapter 11, read it for yourself, verse 17. It says that it was accounted righteousness to Abraham simply because he believed in resurrection. Oh, my goodness. Right between the eyes. So even if all I got to do is obey, God's going to take care of this thing. And I know one thing. God is a God of his word. God is not a man that he would lie. Anything that God says, it will be brought to fruition, because God cannot lie. God says that he would bless me through Isaac, the son of promise. He can't bless me if Isaac is dead.
Yes, sir.
Isaac got to live. Isaac got to get up off of this, because he gonna die. Because the Lord done told me, I got to kill this boy. I'm killing this boy. but he's going to get up.
Right.
And I'm doing it not because I'm going to get something, but because God is worthy.
Yes,
it's all about worship.
Yes,
stop doing stuff because of what you're going to get.
Mm.
It's never a good exchange anyway.
Yes, sir.
God gives us a lot more than we would ever give him.
Yes.
All he's asking, he says, I gave Isaac to you. Now, can you give him back?
Yeah.
I gave you that good job. Can you give me just a tenth of it back?
Oh,
y'all, come on. Come on. Y'all. I ain't one of the pastor's reps. But you know what? If God gave it to you, give it back.
Yeah.
That's a test.
Yeah.
Every time you get paid, that's a test.
Yeah.
Think of it as a test. Am I going to go shopping? Am I going to pay my tithes?
Come on here.
Oh, I know. Oh, nah. Okay. All right. Y'all must, yeah. Y'all can't tell Pastor Brown on me. Maybe y'all have to tell Pastor Cobb or somebody. Okay. All right. Now, and they came to the place which God had told them of, and what?
And Abraham
built an altar there, laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac, and laid him upon the wood, laid him on the wood. You remember he was carrying the wood? Just like Christ was carrying the cross? Now he's on the wood like Christ was on the wood. Y'all stop. Oh, did I tell you he was 30 years old? So when he bound him, it wasn't no little bitty baby that he put up. This was a strapping young man, could knock daddy out. But Isaac knew one thing. Honor your father and your mother, that your days might be long. He says, might not be working out too well right now, God, but I'm going to honor him anyway. He might be 125 years old, but I'm going to honor him anyway. Because this life is not my own. He says, I'd like to get up. Isaac says, but nevertheless, my father's will has got to be done. Oh, I tithe of Christ. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay and the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, this is a unique place in the book of the in books of the Bible. You know why, Sil? Because all the other time when God addressed Abraham, when the angels addressed Abraham, they always said Abram or Abraham. Here is urgent. It's equivalent to verily, verily. Abraham, stop what you're doing. Steady your hand. Here am I. And he said, lay not thy hand on the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I what?
No, thou hearest God, seeing thou hast not
withheld
thy son, thine only son, from me.
Let me tell you something. We've learned and we know that the three O's of God, their attributes that describe God, is that he's omnipotent, he's omnipresent, and the other O is he's omniscient. Okay? That means he knows everything. Well, Lord, you done brought me out here, got this knife in my hand, and is it you that are saying, don't do this? Because now you know that I revere you, that I love you? I thought you knew everything. The question is, not if God knows everything, but do you know what you are capable of doing?
Yes. Yes.
God says, we're in relationship so close that I can say, I now. You know the power of resurrection now, is what he was telling them. It's the very thing that Paul wanted to know. He says, I want to know God more intimately and the power of his resurrection. God was conveying to Abraham that on this day, you know the power of resurrection. You know what? You slayed this boy. Wait a minute, what do you mean? In his mind, Abraham had already done it. He had already killed that boy. You know why? Because he had made up his mind to do it. God intervened and says, you don't have to do it. You pass the test. Because I know you love me as much as you do this boy. That's what he's saying. That's all God wants to come to a realization. He knows your heart, but there's some point in time when you develop an even closer relationship with God, you and him on the same level, dealing with it, and it says, I know that you fear me. I know that you revere me, because all because you were willing to trust God through the test. See, a trust. He was getting ready to do it.
Yeah.
It was coming down. Read the next verse. They were letting me out. People get crazy with this. I don't have time to go into all of it. But if I read verse 8, it says, and Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for the burnt offering. And then I go down to 13, it says, Abraham looked up, and he saw a ram caught in a thicket. Ram caught in a thicket. Way up there on Mount Moriah. Caught in the thicket. Abraham, since you were going to worship, going to worship. And I don't mean to interrupt your worship, but here's a ram. A ram. A ram. Now, I know, I ain't trying to offend nobody, but y'all know, y'all been around, y'all know that some folk get in and talk about this. I'm the ram in the bush, and matter of fact, in the feminist movement, at the height of it, they talked about that they were the rams in the bush, that they're every man's ram in the bush. Now, the last time I checked, a ram is a male. You know what? This is something to school, y'all. Come on now.
Yeah,
come on, go to school. I'm just telling you. I mean, there's all kinds of craziness out there. Okay? But God chose this ram for this sacrifice. Because in the death of Isaac, the death of Isaac would not have given us salvation.
Right.
So till you get to the real deal, here's a substitute.
Yeah.
And a substitute ain't ever as good as the real deal. I told y'all, I don't care. You may talk about you got Gucci's and coaches and all that, hey, but the real Louis Vuitton. But ain't nothing better than the real deal.
Yes,
and you know, whenever God shows up, it's going to be the real deal.
Yeah.
It ain't going to be no plaything.
Yeah.
He says, go on and worship now. But here we see Abraham just looking into the future, seeing what was happening, seeing how this life hurt. Isn't it amazing? Isaac, 30 some odd years old, dies on Calvary. Jesus, 33 and a half, dies on Calvary in the same spot. Isaac was going to be a sacrifice. Jesus is the ultimate sacrifice. Isaac never said a word.
Yeah.
See, because in here we talk about the test of Abraham, but guess what?
No.
Surprise! It was a test of two people. Because you know what? One tested his active faith.
Mm.
The other tested his passive faith.
Mm.
Active was Abraham.
Mm.
Passive was just like Jesus.
Yes.
He says he was oppressed and afflicted. like a lamb led before his shearer is dumb, yet he said not a word. I'm quoting out Isaiah 53 now. You know, he said not a word. He's taken from prison to judgment, yet he opened not his mouth. He said not a word. He was willing to lie there and die just on the faith of his father. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you, you talk about legacy. Sister West, I'll look at you and I'll tell you, you know what the greatest legacy you will ever leave that beautiful ebony is? That's a legacy of loving and knowing the Lord. It ain't all this. Yeah. It's not all culture. It's not about money. It's about, do you love the Lord? And can you trust God the way that mama trusted God? Can you trust God the way that daddy trusted God? Say, I'm going to trust God. Oh, I've been through the test. Oh, yeah, I've been through the rain, been through the fire, the flood. But guess what? And I'm like Peter, I got to open up my mouth. But guess what? I trust God. Yeah. Money is funny, but I trust God. Yeah. There's more days left in the month than there's money, but I trust God. When I was young, I trusted God. When I was not so old, I trusted God. And now that I'm old, I trust God. Because you know what, sees? When I was young, oh, he provided for me. When I was a middler, he provided me. When I was old, he's still providing for me. Because you know what? I've never seen the righteous forsaken or the seed begging bread. So it's one thing you ain't got to worry about me. Don't worry if I don't wear the latest and greatest clothing. I leave that to my wife, you know, because that's how God hooked me up.
Amen.
You wear the basics. Let her style. But I'm going to provide. I'm going to meet your needs according to my riches. I'm going to trust God through the test. Oh, yeah. And you know what? There have been some tough tests. There have been some days when I didn't think I was going to recover. Oh, I can tell you a day about 7 years ago, Sister Dorothy, when I was laid out there. You know, they came in and said, look at him. Ain't no need to cover him up. Don't do nothing with him, you know. And this boy, we don't stop this heart, but we don't know if we can start it. But you know what? After I recovered and been through this, I was trusting God.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, Sister Douglas, Sister Liz, the sister was there with me, boy. And she said, T, what's going to happen if you don't make it through this? I said, I win either way. Because if I don't make it on this side, you know I made it on the other side.
Yeah.
I'm trusting God. No, I'm trusting God. But I just don't believe, based on what God has told me all my life,
come on now,
that it's going to end here. So I tell you what, y'all going back to y'all room, going back home, I'm going down here to the operating room, and when I wake up, I'm going to plead the blood. So late on that night, and we got to go. The technician came in, and he asked me, he says, Mr. Smith, how you doing? I'm fine. Oh, I guess I made it through this. He said, oh yeah, you made it. He says, have you ever wondered how it is that they got your heart back to beating? Mm. And I said, no, I ain't had time to wonder. Been too busy praying and trusting God.
Yes, sir.
He said, but do you remember just before you went down, they took these vials of blood from your arm? And I said, yeah. He said, you remember that? Yeah. He said, well, when we got ready to start your heart back, we don't use a machine to start your heart.
What?
He says, we take your blood, pour it in your chest, and it starts the heartbeat, because it's all in the blood. See, and the only blood that's gonna satisfy is the blood of Jesus, because it is the blood that gives life to everyone. But you gotta trust him, even when you're going through the test. I